In the scripture reading we had this morning, Brother Tyler brought to our attention Acts chapter 9, and in Acts chapter 9, verse 11, the very first description of God of the Apostle Paul. He wasn't the Apostle Paul yet, he was still Saul, Paulus, but of the future apostle, the first description of God on his life as a Christian was, "Behold, he's praying." Let's pray right now. Father, I pray that you would open our eyes, that we would behold wondrous things out of your law. Show us something just for us today as we peer intently into the perfect law of liberty. I pray that you would do your supernatural illuminating, that we would have a heart that takes heed how we hear, and that we would not just be learners and hearers, but actual practicers. May we not be forgetful people who see, but then go away and not do. May we practice today. We ask in your Son, Jesus' name, amen. The Apostle Paul was a man of prayer, saw tremendous things take place in his life and God using him and in the churches around which he was associated, and God used him to plant. Many people were converted. There were people who were revitalized. Great unity was accomplished with the things of God. We want to see the same things here. I know that you do. But there's a problem with prayer, which we've discussed before, and that is in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, it says, "We know that if we ask anything according to his will, we know he hears us and we have the request that we've asked." The question is, how do I know if I'm praying God's will? If I'm going to be getting the answers to prayer, I want to make sure that I'm praying God's will, because it says I have to ask according to his will if I'm going to get what I request. I would propose to us that we pray God's word right back to him, which is God's written will for us. And I believe we would see answers to prayer. We would see churches with the vitality in unity, which is so necessary there. Also, God, through the Apostle Paul, many times throughout the New Testament, asked and prayed specific requests for those churches. On Wednesday nights, we're going through those. But there are also requests which the Apostle Paul, in many of his epistles, requested. Would you please pray for me in these situations? And, dear friends, I'm convinced that if we would see the vitality and the unity which we really desire in every church and for our future, that we would be praying these same requests for the church as well as for the pastor. Many are excited. I know I am. I hope that you are, about the future of Grace Baptist Church. Can I tell you, one person cannot do it all. 10 people cannot do it all. It is God who does the work. And we must be people of prayer if we're going to see the work done, and we've got to pray the right kind of prayers, and we must pray it God's way. What are those requests? Would you turn to Romans chapter 15? There are 7 of them. And so this morning, we are going to be looking at the prayers which God, through Paul, mentioned in praying for him. And I would plead with you to be praying for your pastors, for Pastor Eamon, for Pastor Shad, and perhaps, Lord willing, for Pastor Tim, if the Lord would work in your lives to bring him on board with a vote on December the 17th. Romans chapter 15, verses 30 through 32. God, through Paul, urges us, says, "Now I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that," and here's the requests, "that I may be delivered from those who are disobedient in Judea, in the area, and that my service for Jerusalem may prove acceptable to the saints, so that I may come to you in joy by the will of God and find refreshing rest in your company. Now the God of peace be with you all. That's a request that Paul prayed for them. Can I encourage the seven major passages we're looking at this morning quickly? Seven main requests, but there are subpoints underneath them. Number one, pray for your pastor's ministry among the local church. Pray for your pastor's ministry among the local church, the local body here. You notice verse 30 begins with God wanting the right kind of persons to pray. Those are believers, people who have really, genuinely been converted by the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. People who do not know Jesus Christ can pray, but God does not hear them as far as receiving those requests to answer. We need people who know the gospel to be praying, the right people, and there's the right agency and the right motivation that's found there at the beginning of verse 30 is, why do I pray? Well, it's by the urging, number one, of the Apostle Paul. He says, I urge you, brothers. That same word is used by a general who at the beginning of battles in the Old and New Testaments would urge and rally the troops. He wasn't up there saying, well, okay, we're going to get ready to go. Okay, hope you win. Let's go. That was not his disposition of any colonel or general. It was an inspirational, motivational, pleading, rallying cry. Come on, let's do this thing. Dear friends, you are involved and are going to be involved in a spiritual battle which is far greater of importance than any physical battle that has ever taken place on this earth. What are you going to do to meet the rallying cry of that spiritual battle? The Apostle Paul and God says it is answered through our rallying in prayer. I also rally because of the agency and out of the motivation of Jesus Christ. Some of your translations there says, for Christ's sake. Paul isn't cussing when he says this, but he says, stop and remember Jesus who left heaven to come to earth, to live in the crud here, to die for our sin, who rose again and who ascended and who's going to return. Stop and think of him. Let that be a motivation. It's by his work and out of our thoughtfulness of him. It's for Christ's sake that we should be praying for our pastors and by the love of the Spirit's sake. But then notice the right manner. He mentions there at the end of verse 30, that you strive together with me. The right manner. It's the Greek word sun, which means with, and agonizo. 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 What English word do we get from agonizo? Agonize. That's exactly right. Did you know that prayer, when you do it right, is a type of agony? Say, boy, I don't like to pray because it just wears me out. That's good. It should. Because, dear friends, that is where the real work gets done. And God says, I want you all together, not just one individual, not just some people who supposedly have the gift of prayer, all the church, God says to the church in Rome, would you agonize together with me in prayer? This agonizo is often referred to in the secular Greek literature, as well as in the New Testament and other passages, referring to a wrestling contender who is wrestling in a match. But we're agonizing together, so it's like tag team wrestling. Now, I know in some of our thinking, up comes the total drama and paid-off plays of the Worldwide Wrestling Federation. That is not what I'm talking about. These are people who are actually in there and genuinely mean business with their wrestling and the moves. And there is tag team in which we all are working together for the same goal. By the way, the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, agonized in prayer on our behalf. Jesus wants the right person addressed. Do we pray to God in prayer? A number of lessons on prayer here. And then also that the right intercession be made. For whom are we praying? We're praying for our pastors on their behalf at the end of verse 30. And then the requests. What are the right requests for what we should be praying for the pastor's ministry among Grace Baptist Church? What should you be praying for Pastor Eamon, for Pastor Shad, and perhaps, Lord willing, for Pastor Tim? Three things. Number one, pray that your pastors are rescued from disobedient and unbelieving people. Look at verse 31. Pray, verse 31, that I may be delivered, rescued from those who are disobedient. And some translations have the Greek word can be translated either way, either disobedient or unbelieving. And by the way, that can apply it specifically, I believe the context here, it is to those who are unbelievers who are disobedient, the Pharisees who are trying to hinder the Apostle Paul's ministry. But it does have application that there are some Christians who are genuine believers but do not have faith and don't know what they believe. And because they don't know what they believe and they are not strong in the Word of God, they tend to be disobedient and are more of a hindrance than they are a help. Paul is speaking of people who attacked him and attempted to block the ministry that's there. The Apostle Paul, it seems like everywhere he went, there was trouble and opposition and attacks all along the way. As a matter of fact, you read Philippians chapter 1. Within the first 15 verses, you're finding out Paul is in prison, and he's talking about there are people who are out there preaching, rejoicing that he's in prison. Amazing. Paul would have us pray for Pastor Eamon, for Pastor Shad, and perhaps Pastor Tim Feldman, that they would be delivered from those kind of individuals, unbelievers who would be disobedient and unbelieving and simply eke up and waste their time into trivial things instead of having their ministry be effective with the church of God and perhaps with believers who are really more only about attacking than they are about believing and about obeying. Request number two that's in here is found in the middle of verse 31. And that my service for Jerusalem may prove acceptable to the saints. Pray, number two, that your pastor's service is acceptable to the saints. Divisions can always come up. Opinions are like getting a cup of coffee. You can get it anywhere from anyone. Paul is asking, I want my ministry to be accepted of the saints. That is a very important request. And then thirdly, really those two kind of lead to a third request, and that's found in verse 32, so that I may come to you in joy by the will of God and find refreshing rest in your company. Pray that your pastors would have fellowship in the church, that your pastors would actually be able to fellowship with you. And there's three aspects he asks concerning that fellowship, that it would be joyful, not just that there'd be fellowship, two people sitting in the same home, or a group of families in the same home, or just sitting tolerating one another inside of a church service, but that there would be exuberant joy that is found there. That it would also be fellowship that is by God's will. Dear Christian friends, I warn you, there are many things, especially in our free third world, United States America churches, that are all kinds of ideas of how churches should be run. Go by the Bible. As Ron Eamon often said, we preach the Bible, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. And I know you have a lead pastor, and Pastor Jeremy Eamon is going to be doing the exact same thing. Don't be having fellowships that are not according to God's will. And thirdly, here, that it would be refreshingly restful. There are times in which pastors can be around certain individuals. And yes, you're there, and yes, there can be a smile, but it is not refreshing for much of anyone, and it may not be restful. God knows this, and Paul knows this, and so he asks, would you please pray for your pastors that their fellowship with you and yours with theirs would be mutually, refreshingly restful. As a matter of fact, the same word is used in Matthew 11, 28, when Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The great invitation. That means our fellowship must be gathered around and speaking often of Jesus Christ. Time's not our friend this morning, so we have to keep going on, but I would plead with you, and I'm not cussing when I say it, will you pray for Pastor Eamon and the other pastors this way? Will you do it for Christ's sake? Number two, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, if you would turn there. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it's not so much a request as it is a statement of how necessary your prayers are. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8, 9, 10, and 11, let's read it. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of our affliction which came to us in Asia. We were burdened exceedingly. This is Paul in ministry. There are burdens exceedingly beyond our strength, that we despair even of life. Indeed, we felt like we had the sentence of death within ourselves. And God allowed this for this purpose, in order that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises even dead people, who delivered us from so great a peril of death, and who delivers us still. He on whom we have set our hope, and He will yet deliver us. How does He do that? God delivers pastors, verse 11, you also joining and helping us through your prayers, that thanks may be given to many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed upon us through the prayers of many. Paul says, God bless you, thank you for your prayers for pastors. And it's because of your prayers that things you don't even know about, you are used by God in a mighty way to deliver your pastors from them. So, praying, your praying ministry, helps deliver your pastors from death-like situations. Passage number three, Ephesians chapter 6. The next one that's found going through the Bible, Paul asking requests for people to pray for him is found in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. This is the last item of the panel plea or of God, or of the armor of God, so to speak. In verse 18, one of the last things we're to put on in the armor of God is, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Pray for everyone. But then he says, verse 19, and pray on my behalf. And there's two main requests through the verbs and the participial phrases here. Two main requests: that to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. There's two main requests here. Yes, in praying for your pastor's ministry and uttering Jesus' gospel. These both can be summed up under your pastor's ministry in giving Jesus' gospel. But two specific requests about that. Number one, pray that your pastors would give all the words of Jesus' gospel. You say, where is that found there? It's found a couple of different times in the word boldness. Many times when we read the word boldness, we think someone who's courageous, someone who just goes in, someone with fantastic leadership like a bull in a china shop, just very bold that way. That it's more of an emotional term and a lot of action behind it. The Greek term really has nothing to do with that. Now, it may be one of the effects of it, but the Greek word is really a combination of two words. These two Greek words are all and words. Boldness is all the words. So when someone boldly gives the gospel, it's not so much of an attitude or an emotion as it is, I'm simply giving someone all the words. I'm not leaving anything out. I'm not going to watch them, and because they might be offended, I'm not going to hold out on bringing up that all men are sinners, including them. And that Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was not just an example for us all to we all sacrifice. He is the only way to God. The only way. And all of those other facets of the gospel, and the only way of receiving the gospel is by true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is saying, pray that as I utter the ministry of the gospel, that I would give it boldly, that I would not leave out any words that I'm supposed to give. Obviously, if I have in my mind the precept of I'm going to give all the words, there is a type of our definition of boldness that comes along. I know what I have to do. It's an obligation of not so much of an emotion, but of responsibility and obedience to God, that therefore I've already decided I'm going to give all the words. But then secondly, pray that your pastors would give Jesus' gospel faithfully. The tense of the verbs in here and of the participles, it is a continual tense. So there's two aspects in praying for your pastor's ministry of uttering Jesus' gospel. Pray that they would give all the words, and pray that they would do it faithfully. Question, as we're just kind of pausing here, do you know the gospel? Do you know Jesus? Do you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that if you were to die, that God instantaneously would welcome you into heaven? And do you know why? That it's not based on any work that you have done? If you don't know that, you need to come to Jesus. You need to run to Him and get to know Him through His gospel. Fourthly, is found in Colossians chapter 4. In Colossians chapter 4 is the next request. You have notes here on this, I believe, concerning all of this, and I would encourage you, dear friends, to keep these in your Bible and to pray for your pastors. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. And here he is speaking. In verse 3, we should really begin praying at the same time for us. Pray for us as well, that God may open unto us a door for the word. Really, I'm sorry, Colossians 4, verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God may open unto us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have been also imprisoned, in order that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Very similar to Ephesians chapter 6 there, but Ephesians 6 is for your pastors actually speaking the gospel. This one is praying for open door opportunities for that. It's one thing to speak it, it's another to have a closed door in people's hearts and lives. Closed door opportunities in which people really don't want to hear or don't want to pay attention or are checked out. He's praying for open door opportunities into people's lives. Notice here he mentions the manner of praying. The manner of praying there, devote yourselves to prayer. In other words, you just can't get enough of doing it. Give a priority to it. They don't just pray. They devote themselves to prayer. And then there's the right requests. What are those requests? That your pastor would have an open door opportunities. Pray for that. That as your pastors minister among you and among other people, and on Sunday mornings and in ministering the word, in Sunday school, in morning worship, in the evening service, as they fellowship with others, as they minister the word, not just publicly, but also privately in people's homes, would you please pray that there would be open doors in which they speak? The Apostle Paul mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9, that there was a great door that is open to them, but there are many adversaries. Pray that God would eliminate the adversaries and that there would be open doors. Also, pray that your pastor, secondly, would speak Jesus. Speak Jesus. That's simply what it is. And thirdly, that your pastors would make Jesus clear as they ought. Open door opportunities. Speak Jesus. And speak Jesus as they ought to. By the way, this is with unbelievers. This is with us as believers. That there would be open doors among you all who sit here. And in teaching times, publicly, privately. Let me ask you, how open are you? How about right now? How open are you? How open are you normally to the ministry of the Word of God? Or are you checked out? Or do you check out? Ministers see this often. Don't check out. God wants us to be praying that there are open doors, which means, dear friends, we are praying for our pastors and we're praying for each other that we don't check out. There is important spiritual warfare that's going on in the giving of God's Word. I refer us to Daniel chapter 10. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to make reference to it. But in Daniel chapter 10, the great Daniel, of whom in the Bible nothing negative is mentioned at all. Pretty good character, I would say. A major character of whom nothing is mentioned bad. Daniel begins praying. He sees something in the Bible and he begins to pray about it. The answer wasn't given him until 21 days later. The answer comes in the form of an angelic messenger. I mean, that's what it took, I suppose. And then Daniel asked the angel, who is a messenger from the Lord, you know, I saw this in God's Word and I began to pray this way 21 days ago. What's going on here? I know that you all aren't slow. And do you know what the angel said? The very moment, Daniel, that you started praying, the Lord sent me to you with the answer. But there has been a battle in the air around us that has hindered me for 21 days. And this is Daniel praying. Dear friends, do you realize in the air around us right now, and I'm not trying to get charismatic, but this is the way it is. From wherever God's throne is and us in the air around us, there is a spiritual warfare going on. And it is demonic, and it is for your soul, it is for your heart, it is for your mind, it is for your life. Don't check out! God, through Paul, says, will you please pray for pastors? That there is an open door into people's hearts and lives. There are times where I have been checked out. Years of tiredness affects it, but years ago I learned the lesson. There are very few times where I can boast in something where the Lord has really helped me grow. I've fallen in many ways. In this area, through my beloved professor, Dr. Michael Barrett, I learned the lesson. The college I went to, there wasn't much of a variety of speakers in the chapel platform. And there was one particular one who I just did not care for, their ministry of the Word in chapel. It seemed like there wasn't a lot of preparation. It seemed like there wasn't a lot of passion. It just seemed to get up there and just blab. And I felt that it was not very effective, and because I felt that way, I had this little seed thought, but because I didn't deal with the seed thought the right way, I let that seed germinate in my heart and my mind, and I let weeds take over. So that whenever this speaker was speaking in chapel, the weeds took over. I'm not hearing, or as Smeagol or Gollum says, I'm not listening. I wouldn't actually do that in a 7,000-seat auditorium. But on the inside, I'm not listening. And I went to Dr. Barrett, whose advice I firmly respect, and asked him, hey, how do you deal as a Bible professor? A Bible professor who has an earned PhD and you're a pastor in a local church in this town, how do you deal with some of the messages that are spoken by some of the administration here? And he turned to me. And he said, Aaron, shame on you. Shame on you. You need to change. He said, I go to chapel every day, anticipating God's Word to be spoken. And every time God's Word is spoken, Isaiah 55, Brother Anton brought it up, there is good news that's there. And if you're not getting it, The problem is not with God or with the speaker. The problem is with you. And I determined long ago there will never be a chapel that I go to that I do not come away with something that is going to help me in my Christian life. Well, I felt about 2 inches tall after that. I've never forgotten it. By God's help, I've never been checked out when other people, whether I like them or not, have been speaking, because the Word of God is given. Dear friends, will you please pray for your pastors and for yourselves that there are open door opportunities. We have to hurry. Number 5 is found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And this one deals with your pastor's ministry of the Lord's Word at large. The last two was dealing specifically with Jesus' gospel and open door ministries with believers and unbelievers. But this one deals with the ministry of the Word, not just the gospel, but all of God's Word. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Finally, brothers, pray for us that," and here's the request, "that the word of the Lord may spread rapidly," it's really run, "spread rapidly and be glorified just as it did also with you." And another request, "that we may be delivered from perverse and evil men, for not all have the faith." Mentions the right manner of prayer here, continually. But what are these requests? There are 3 that are here in the ministry of God's Word. First, pray that the Word of the Lord would keep on spreading rapidly. Pray that the ministry of the Lord would keep on spreading rapidly. Not just in one service, but it would keep on spreading rapidly. This word, spread rapidly or run, deals with a person who's running in a battle. It's dealing with an attack formation, is how the word is used in secular Greek. That the people are hidden behind something and all of a sudden the word is given and they are up and going. In other words, there's a dominating, conquering aspect to it. It's a word that's also used of a herald who would be sent by a general. "Send word back to Rome. We've won the day." What does the herald do? He starts running. So it speaks not only of a domineering, conquering, but also of a swift progress. But it's also used in the Isthmian Games and the Olympic Games of a runner in a stadium who would win the race. In other words, we could sum all of these ideologies up into that the Word of God, as it goes, it would have a triumphant career in people's hearts and lives. I'm reminded of Romans chapter 1. Oh, I know the groan, but hold on, just stop. Remember in Romans 1? God mentions there, through Paul to this church he'd never been to, that the entire known world had heard about people in Rome, that they had faith and they were followers of Jesus Christ, and they didn't have Facebook or advertising. There was a triumphant career of the Word of God in this situation. Pray that the Word of God would keep spreading rapidly. And second, it's mentioned there that the Word of the Lord would keep on being glorified or honored. Glory is have a good opinion, that people would have a good opinion of the Word of God as it is given through your pastors, Pastor Eamon, Pastor Shad, perhaps Brother Tim. And obviously, if the Word is glorified, that God would be glorified too. That means that other people and you have a good opinion of the Word of God that's coming out. So let me ask you, do you honor God's Word? Do you read it? Do you study it? Do you meditate throughout the day? And when you hear it from other people, are you listening? Are you engaged? Or, it's already brought up, are you checked out? Third request that's here, pray that your pastors would be rescued from weird people. Yeah, that's what it is. I know, I always get this. The 3 times I've ever given this message. Pray that your pastors will be rescued from weird people. Look at it there in verse 2. And that we would be delivered from perverse and evil men, for not all have the faith. Now, when we think of the word perverse, we think of obviously evil, wicked, mean, bad, and nasty. That's not what this word perverse necessarily means here. It literally means out of place. Odd is the word. Unbecoming. They have outrageous thinking and outrageous actions. And when I say outrageous, I don't mean just way out there. They have some aspects that it seems like it fits in with everyone else, but it's just kind of out there as well. It's used in secular Greek of a man who went to his neighbor's sheaves of wheat in the harvest time and tore the sheaves apart and threw the sheaves to the pigs. That is outlandish. That is odd. It also is used of parents who had a prodigal son, and they didn't want their son's prodigal sins coming back on them and people in the community holding their son against them. So what did they do? They went and told everyone all of the sins of their sons, of their son, so that it wouldn't come back and bite them in the end. That's just odd. That's just outlandish. I don't know how to put it except in our vernacular, and that is building a bridge from this text to us. What's the point? These are weird people. Friends, can I tell you, the gospel light, church light, gospel light, and Bible light attracts strange bugs sometimes. Weird looking ones, and sometimes weird acting ones. The Apostle Paul recognized this. And a very practical request, would you please pray for your pastors? They do not have time to spend and waste and eke out on people who are just so completely outlandish and odd and weird that it takes up their time from the Word of God and ministering the Word of God effectively to you. I hope and pray that you aren't one of those weird people that's there. In other words, also with this evil and weirdness, there's a type of opposition that is there. Obviously, bad attitudes. Paul had a plague of these kind of people in Corinth. It's possible in a local church that there can be a group of people who together are opposed to the Word of God. Now, I have to admit, and I know that our time is going, and you all are very patient here, but he mentions there at the end, not all men have the faith. Up comes the question, is that the faith? They don't know what they believe. They don't have the Bible doctrine. They don't have what they're supposed to believe. Or is that they don't actually have faith in God? They don't have a lot of belief. Their trust level is little. Which is it? Well, I would say people who don't know their Bible very well, what they believe and why they believe it, are people who aren't going to trust God. And that's outrageous for a person who calls himself a Christian. And Paul says, these are people from whom I want to be rescued. C.H. Spurgeon was known as the Prince of Preachers, arguably the greatest English-speaking preacher in the 1800s. Someone went to him one day and asked him, what is the secret of the success of your ministry? He looked at them and smiled and says, the secret of my success is my people. They pray for me. Number 6 is mentioned in the book of Philemon very quickly. Philemon chapter 1. Well, there's only one chapter in Philemon. Philemon, verse 22. Philemon 1:22. And at the same time, also prepare me a lodging, for I hope that through your prayers I shall be given to you. Pray that your pastors would have individual fellowship with the believers in the church. Last one is found in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 18 and 19. Hebrews 13, last one, and we're wrapping it up. Hebrews 13, verses 18 and 19. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have, one, a good conscience, number two, desiring to conduct ourselves honorably in all things. And I urge you all the more to do this, to pray that I may be restored to you the sooner. Pray for your pastor's personal conscience, personal conduct, and personal communion, that your pastors would have a good, clear conscience and would have honorable conduct and have personal communion, fellowship inside the church. One illustration, we'll wrap it up with a final illustration. The first pastor's meeting I ever went to was in September of 1993, on a Friday, the very day that President Bill Clinton had at the White House Menachem Begin of Israel and the Palestinian Authority leader. And he had them shaking hands. Perhaps some of you remember that day. It was earlier that day I had a pastor's meeting in Columbus, Ohio. My first time ever in the ministry at a pastor's meeting. I didn't know anyone there. Just went by myself and sat at a table, just I and another guy, a pastor, and he opened up to me. I didn't talk very much, wasn't as talkative then as what I am now. Say, I would have liked you more back then. I know, especially with the lateness of the hour, but we're wrapping it up. He opened up, this pastor, and went on and on and on of his difficulties in the ministry. And he opened up to me. I couldn't believe. I mean, here, this is the very first time I'm in the ministry, doing ministry in a church. I'm at a pastor, and this guy just opens up to me. He doesn't know me any different. He opens up how that just a couple of weeks ago, he actually loaded his gun and actually thought about taking his life. How discouraging, and it was all the circumstances that was in his church. At the time, I'm thinking, I'm smiling, I'm listening, I'm trying to be empathetic. I'm thinking, this guy is whacked out and has all kinds of major problems, mental and other problems. And you know what I found out? Ministry can be like that at times. Don't let it. By your prayers for Pastor Eamon and for Pastor Shad, pray for them. Friends, what am I saying? This message is not for you to say, God bless the pastors. That is not what I'm asking you to pray. I'm asking you to pray these requests which you have in your hands so that God will answer. If we ask anything according to His will, we know He hears us and we have the requests that we mention. Will you do that? Oh, I yearn for Pastor Eamon and for Pastor Shad. I yearn for this ministry, dear friends, because the effectiveness of this ministry is on God answering your prayer. God does the work. I yearn to have 20 people who would say, for 30 seconds a day, I'll pray these requests for these pastors. How I yearn for you and for your pastors that there would be 10 people who would say, I will devote myself every day to praying 60 seconds a day. These requests for the pastor. How I yearn for this ministry and for these pastors that there would be just 5 people who would pray 2 whole minutes a day. These requests for their pastors and for this ministry. How I long that there would be 2 or more people who would devote themselves 5 minutes a day to praying these requests for Pastor Eamon, for Pastor Shad, and, Lord willing, for Pastor Tim Feldman in the future. Final illustration, and we're done. Pastor Jesse Boyd, whose picture always would sit in the office in there, from Mississippi, had a really deep voice and a southern accent. And I won't give the whole thing, but he said in the middle of a message, he said, and some of you are more willing to jump in gossip and griping and complaining and murmuring and disputing and whining and crybabying around about me. And you don't even spend 5 minutes a day praying for me. And then he said, say, why don't you do God a favor? There's the door. Don't let your pastors ever have to say something like that to you. May you pray for them. And dear friends, when you do, you're going to be reaping great benefits as a result. Will you do it for Christ's sake? Let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for this time. Lord, I pray that we would be committed to praying for our pastors these requests. One of them that has been a great burden upon my mind, that you would allow Pastor Eamon and Pastor Shads, and potentially, if you would have it be so, Pastor Tim Feldman, that their ministry would be accepted of the saints. May their ministry of the Word of God keep on spreading rapidly, and that the Word of God would be glorified and have a right opinion and give you the right opinion. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be the kind of people who pray these requests. Father, I pray also for maybe one here that all of this is just a bunch of religious mumbo jumbo. And praying for pastors in a time of transition means nothing to them because they may not know Jesus as their Savior. Lord, I pray that if there is one here today who doesn't know Jesus or isn't sure, that they would come, that they would meet, that they would talk. They'd send a message or an email, call or do something, that they would not stay where they are, but they would do something about it and steps toward you. Father, I pray that you would dismiss us now, as the hour is late, with your blessing. And now, may the love of God the Father and the fellowship of His Son and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all, both now and forevermore. We ask in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.